You'll turn with me in your Bibles. To Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 9. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord. You led me to this today. Lord, I just ask you to guide and direct me as I speak, Lord. Lord, I just I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter has a vision. So it's about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the road on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open up and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a religious and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. I'm going to continue to read. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent me?" Cornelius answered, "Three days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m, and suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gift to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house, or in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak, 'Now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right.'" I love that story. And I'm not going to talk very long tonight because I want to do communion and I want to take some time to pray. And I just feel like that we should take time to pray. I really do. I feel like that we shortchange ourselves on that sometimes. We don't take the time that we should. dedicated to prayer. And Peter is obedient to what God is telling him. He didn't associate with Gentiles. He was taught not to associate with Gentiles. And I want to bring this out. I think a lot of times we're taught not to associate with certain groups of people. I think that's something that just kind of happens. Different societies, different cultures, different areas, you know. And what I mean by that is I'm not a prejudiced person. I'll put it this way. I'm not a racist person. But I am prejudiced about certain things. Does that make sense? I'm not racist, but I am prejudiced. Sometimes we have our ways about us, the way we are, the way we were raised, the way the culture that we were raised in. And it puts these prejudice teachings in us, right? So it makes us push away from certain things. And I got to tell you, you know, whenever I went to Carbondale to be in that mission church, it was hard for me. And it wasn't because I was racist in any way, but I was prejudiced against the things that that culture did, which was way different from what I was raised to do and how I was raised to be. You understand what I'm saying? Because I was not raised the way they were raised. And it took me a while to start to understand. And there was a lot of things that I just, you know, the way they talk, the way they act, the way they were. And it was not because they were bad people. Some of them were very bad people, but not all of them were. But it made it difficult. You understand what I'm saying? It made it difficult for me to relate with them. And it took a while, and I had to pray about it, and I had to say, you know, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this. And it took a while for me to start to understand how to connect. I had to change my way of thinking. I had to change some things in me, okay? And I had to let the Holy Spirit guide me because, no, I was completely different. I was raised, you know, in a farming community, raised around cows and horses and pigs and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't raised in the inner city housing. I wasn't raised that way. I didn't understand that culture. And with, you know, an 80%, it's about 80% African American, you know. And being in that, it's different. It's completely different. I'm telling you, it's different. And it really, you know, when I read this, it's like, well, this is kind of what Peter, you know, a little bit different, but Peter wasn't supposed to associate. I didn't associate with people like that. It's true. I didn't associate with people like that. Why? I wasn't raised that way. Okay? So it was a hard barrier for me to break. But once I allowed God to work through me and start to understand, you know, it's not about that. We have to break barriers sometimes to get to people, to be able to witness to people, to be able to serve God in the way He wants us to serve. And it's like Paul went throughout the whole countryside going to different... Paul said, I became a Greek, I became a Roman, I became all these things so that I might win some. He knew he couldn't win them all, but he said, yeah, I had to become all these things. And what did he mean by that? It means he had to get into their culture. He had to break down those barriers. You know, he wasn't that. You know, Paul was a very strict Jew as well. So I'm sure it was difficult at times for him to go in, just like Peter. Peter's like, I don't eat pork. I don't eat bacon. I was not raised that way. It's against my religion to do that. It was not mine, but but that was his. You know, so he had to say, okay, God, you're going to have to show me because I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. So that's why he had this vision. You know, God, he has this big vision, you know. God says, hey, I've made this clean. Whatever they offer you, you eat it. You eat it. That's difficult. That was really difficult for him. But you can read what he says there in verse 34. He said, then Peter began to speak, and he said, now I realize. He even had to go there. He was obedient to even get there. And after he heard what Cornelius had to say, he said, "Now I realize what's going on here. Now I know what I have to do." And I'm sure it wasn't easy for him even after that. That first bite of something that was impure, can you imagine what it was like for him? Because I'm sure he didn't just grab it and it's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, what have I been..." You know, he probably, if he ate a piece of bacon for the first time, it's probably like, "Man, where has this been all my life?" I don't know why we like bacon. It's just so good, isn't it? I don't know. Does anybody not like bacon? See? It is, isn't it? Everybody likes bacon. But what I'm saying is we have to in our lives sometimes break these barriers down that we all have in different ways. And, you know, each and every one of us is a little bit different because of where we were raised and how we were raised and the area and the culture that we were raised in. It does make a difference. And sometimes it is beneficial to us, but sometimes it becomes a great challenge. It's a great challenge for us to try to break or try to understand why God put us there, you know. Why did God put me there? You know, I'm like, how am I supposed to get through to these people? You know, what am I supposed to do? And Peter felt the same way. Peter was like, "I don't understand this." But when he got there, he said, "Now I realize." See, when I look back, it's the same thing. You can look in other people. I have friends of mine now. These kids have grown up that I ministered to in Carbondale years ago. And now they've grown up, and I'm friends with some of them on Facebook. And it's awesome to see sometimes where they're at now, you know. And it changed their perspective as well when a bunch of dumb old country boys came up there and started preaching Jesus to them. And it was interesting, I'll tell you. But life is like that, and I think that's part of our witness, part of who we have to be at times. Is being obedient to God is to break those barriers down. And, you know, because it says right here, it says, where was that at? That God is no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons, no Greek, no Jew, no Gentile. He came and he died on a cross for each and every one of us. It didn't matter whether you was a Gentile, whether you was a Samaritan, or whether you was a Jew. He died for each and every one of us. He set all those things aside. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, verse 23 of chapter 11, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You know, tonight we're going to take communion. And I know, you know, we do this on a regular basis. But when you take communion, does it really mean something to you? Whenever you take it, do you really think about what it really means? Do you search your heart and say, "Lord, you know, am I on the right track? Am I worthy of this? Do I truly believe in you?" Paul goes on to say, "Then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. It says everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. I don't think everybody reads that part. But I feel like it's important to understand how important communion is and how we should examine ourselves, you know. It's not that I'm examining you. We examine ourselves because we know where we're at. God knows where you're at. God knows where I'm at. And I have to look at myself and I examine myself and say, you know what, am I on the right path? Am I on the right track? Am I doing what God wants me to do? So tonight, I want you to think about that. I want you to pray. I want you to think about that before we take communion. I want you to take some time. Just take some quiet time. Let's just take a few minutes before we do communion. And let's just pray. Let's just think about something. Just think about yourself. Examine yourself.